simply, I praise God for, okay? What do we got? What are we thankful for? What do we praise God for?
For grace.
For grace. Amen. Michelle and I, time and time again, we praise God for all of you and the blessing you guys have been to us. So, anything else?
I praise God that He never changes.
Amen. Amen to that. His faithfulness. Amen to that. Mm-hmm.
Praise God that He never gives up.
Amen. Amen. Anything else? Next generation, right? Yeah. No longer slaves to sin. To that. For health, yeah. Okay. Yeah. For His justice, yeah. Anything else? Else? We have much to praise Him for, don't we? Much, much more. We're going to sing. No. Sneaking in right at the end. We're going to sing one more song. Psalm 96 says this, says, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the peoples. You know, it's part of the reason why we do the sacrifice of praise service. If you remember the nation of Israel, what is it, the generation, they forgot to pass things on, and that's when the generations after them fell into trouble. And so Psalm 96 says, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples, for the great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of all the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. And we're going to sing, You Are Worthy of My Praise. If you would stand as we sing this last song.
This is one of those songs with an echo to it. And so the men will follow Sandra, and the ladies will follow me on the echo part.
And remind us even of who He is and what He's doing.
Okay, after just returning back from a special event our special granddaughter in Florida, when I mentioned it to the people who were here when she was born in 1993 in Sheboygan with all these heart problems, there were hundreds of prayers sent up for this little baby. And she came through the first surgery and then later another one. And we thought, is she ever going to make it? She just looks hopeless. But the prayers were answered, and she grew and developed, got into an active young girl and did sports and did everything. Went to college to become a teacher, like her grandma. What's wrong with her? I don't know. But she really was exciting to know. And then to see her walk down the aisle just gave me tears. But so thankful for all of you who were here then that remember that little baby girl that the whole Grace Church was praying for. It was so special. So I just can't thank you enough for remembering her.
I guess I got something I'd like to say this morning. It's going to be part one. Part two will come with the other part. But in the back of my office, on the wall, I've got a rope with a little red thing on the bottom. Many of you understand what I'm saying. If you go to Francis Chan on YouTube and go to rope illustration, many people ask what that's all about. And there's one individual in particular, he's an inmate, who asked me, and he's a fairly new Christian, and it gave me the opportunity to tell him, you know, I'm living in the red right now. Someday I'm going to be in the white. I'll be on the other side of eternity. But that gave me an opportunity to sit down and start talking to him about things in the scriptures, and it's a wonderful reminder to me of just the goodness of God in my life. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm living in the red right now, but someday I don't have to worry about going back or, you know, he talked about we look forward to going to retirement, and then when we get to retirement, we wish we were 30 years younger. Well, you know, that's a perspective that we as believers should not have, and it's a reminder to me every day that, yeah, even though I'm getting a little grayer and probably a little bit more forgetful, God has a wonderful eternity in store for me after the end of my physical existence here on earth.
Thank you, Rick.
Stay tuned for part two.
What else? What has God been doing?
I just wanted to say about how God's been working in my life through the small group encounter, if you want to call it an encounter. Just in the short time and the couple of times we've met, already the sense of fellowship and friendship, getting to know one another better, especially this last week, we talked about measuring things, if it glorifies God, and how does it count for eternity, you know, that measure. So we have shared, we've walked together, talked together, eaten cookies together, laughed together, shared scripture, been an encouragement to one another, prayed for one another. It has just been such an edifying and encouraging thing for me. And that's how God has been working, because it was God that took us there. And it was God that took you there. You didn't think of that by yourself.
Yeah, he started that a long, long time ago with two guys in my living room.
Ditto. I do agree with everything Ruth said, but I did have something else. I was really blessed last Sunday. Nikki and I weren't here because we went to a church in Plymouth to visit more encouragement. Somebody that used to go to a small home group we were having for several years at our house. And if you had come to Sunday school, I had mentioned a Catholic family that had been coming. And She was Catholic when we stopped having it, but while she was there, we never shied away from the truth, but we tried to do it in love. And so she had sent me a text a while back, and it was had a song in it about preaching truth and love, and then she had mentioned that she was going to try going to this Christian church in Plymouth, which was really a blessing to me, and we found out what time it met and everything. So Nikki and I decided to go over there to encourage her, and we get there, and she's not there. Surprise. So we start talking to people if they know her, and they're like, oh, yeah, she's coming later for their new believer class that they have. But while we're there, all of a sudden I see somebody else that had been at our small group, and they were Lutheran, and they had left. And I always felt like I was the reason they left because I wasn't very gracious sometimes in how I questioned denominational beliefs. So they always said, no, it wasn't you. They couldn't do it. But now they were going there. So this Lutheran family, they had pulled away. And their daughter, who was going to Concordia, she said, no, she wants to teach at a Christian school now. She was going to be a teacher. And they came up, and they're hugging and everything. And then later on, right before the new believer class, Julie and her whole family's there. Her kids that were all Catholic, they all came. And it was just a blessing for me to see. And I remember what it was like going to Catholic church. You didn't show up with these giant smiles and just joy. And that's what I saw in her family. And it was really a blessing to me to see them there. So.
Good. Praise the Lord for that. Right across the aisle.
Since we've moved to Random Lake 3 years ago this very month, we've gotten to know a couple that lives less than a mile away from us. And they've had some real health hardships here the last 2-3 years. Both of them are, sorry to say, sincerely overweight. Harry had hip surgery here about 2.5 years ago. He recovered from that, but he's a very large man, and now he has diabetes. And within the last year, Marlene came down with cancer in 4 areas of her body. You can't believe that. And she's also diabetic. And went through a whole series of the typical cancer protocol, even wearing a little thing that was inserted that all she had to do is go to West Bend every so often and get more chemical treatment for cancer. Well, I know there were prayer chains because they said, keep praying for us, which I know we were doing. I don't know who was all on their prayer chain. I think I mentioned this couple one other time here. And believe it or not, Marlene, after 9, 10, 11 months of that type of treatment, got an all clear sign as far as cancer. I don't know how long it's going to be that way, but I feel for this couple, and we've been reaching out to them. They are Catholic folks, and within the last month, a week ago on Saturday night, we were invited there, and she shared they no longer even go to their church because they got ridiculed for how they were dressed at wherever they went to Catholic church. And it's no different than some of us right here this morning. I thought, what a ridicule, whether you are in shorts or, you know, don't have your best flowing gowns on. I don't think that should be something you get poked fun at or ridiculed for. So she said, we no longer go to church. We can pray at home here. And we've done that for them. And Harry has indicated to me a couple times that he wishes he could find a home. I assumed he meant a church where it wasn't like the little sermonettes that he gets when they used to go to apparently a Catholic worship place somewhere. And I'm praying for that for Harry. They're good folks. They have a little vegetable stand out in their yard because they're hurting plenty for money. Tens of thousands of doctor bills right now for her cancer treatment over the last year. So I just wanted to pray that maybe we could, I don't want to say get them here, but maybe they'd be open to another fellowship.
Sure. What are the names again?
Be more welcome. Names? Harry and Marlene Thomas.
Harry and Marlene.
And so I just wanted you to know that.
Sure.
And then one other thing. And Dennis, I hope you don't mind this, but I have been praying for years for a brother, a younger brother, who more than a decade ago made a commitment to Christ. That's all I'll say about that. Dennis knows that as well as I do, and the other members of my family. In the interim, this brother has not been fed. I don't even know that he went to church very often or got in connection with any other, you know, place where he could have gotten fed a little bit like we do here. He's married again now. Hallelujah for that. He's got a sweet young lady, not young, older lady, maybe even a little older than he is, I don't know for sure. And in meeting her, we've communicated with them. I reminded him in a card we left there at a post-third marriage get-together that we had here two Saturday nights ago. And he knows he committed his life to Christ one time. There were many witnesses to that. And I just hope that with his new wife, they are now in a Methodist church down in Georgia. He speaks often of it, so I know they're being fed God's word now. And I just shared with him that what I wrote in their card has become wisdom for me and become what I wished and hoped and prayed for them.
Sure.
And I think he's on the right track now to becoming part of what he committed to the Lord, his
sure.
life to the Lord here about 15 years ago. So I pray for Bruce, and I wish you would pray for him also and for his new wife.
All right. We're actually going to take some time later to pray specifically for individuals who may be unsaved, but would somebody right now just pray for Harry and Marlene? Can we do that? Somebody willing to do that? Dennis?
Dear Father, we do pray for Harry and Marlene, and you know they came up to a Catholic background. Father, we pray that as Russ and Maxine share with them, they see the clarity of the gospel eventually, Father, and would trust Jesus for personal salvation. Pray for their health concerns, finances, and even in relationships, Father, that they would come alongside them, encourage them, help them. Father, that they realize that many people around them could be a real blessing to them if they just open up their hearts and minds to them. Father, we pray for their salvation, that people share with them, they would take it to heart, and realize that there's much more than this life. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Any other testimonies of praise or thanksgiving? Hold the mic nice and close, okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Closer.
There you go.
Okay, well, first of all, you know, as I was thinking about, it's just 20 years ago that we came here to Grace, and I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit's leading. I did check out some other churches in the area, and but God brought us here one Sunday, and I just knew this is where he wanted us to be, and I'm really thankful for each and every one of you. And I'm thankful, too, for my God-given family, my husband, and our children. I want to thank you for praying for Alan through his recent surgery with his thyroid situation, and that God is answering prayer, and he's feeling much better. And also for our son, Paul, who was in an accident 2 weeks ago with his business van, which is the carpet cleaning, and that was totaled, and so that brought a lot of stress to the family with a peak business time now, and but God in his goodness helped them find another van, and by Tuesday or Wednesday of this week they should be up and running full speed again. And I'm thankful that though the van was totaled, Paul was not injured, and God just protected him, and through it all we always learn a lot. And so as we pray for our children, which is, they have all been a blessing. We have the four sons. But then along came our grandchildren. And, you know, for those of you who are grandparents, you just think, why couldn't we be grandparents first? Because they have brought us a lot of joy. And as we were dealing with Paul's situation and finding a van and why at this time of the year all these things happen, on Monday afternoon, my phone went off, and as I opened my phone, there were some pictures.
Brian, can we show those pictures?
Okay, yeah, we can show them. This is our oldest grandson, Jonathan, who's serving in the military. We usually don't know where he is because he's overseas, and the job he has, his position is often unknown. But on Monday, he was baptized in the Jordan River. So, so this was one time where we knew where he was at. And I have no other details. I don't know if it's an Air Force chaplain, or I don't know where he is today. But on Monday, that's where he was, in the Jordan. And for those of you who are considering baptism, don't be afraid of the archer's pool. You know, this look at this Jordan. I looked at that and I thought, my goodness. so we just praise the Lord that he's 29, soon to be 30. He took this step in his life to be fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we were praying for the missionaries, I thought, I think we need to add our military fellas, guys and gals both, to this. So thank you for praying. I know some of you know Jonathan. He would come here as a little fella, you know, with us. He often came to church with us. And yeah, and so we just praise the Lord for him and his faith.
Joan had to call me. What day was that this week? Wednesday or something? She called me and said, I can you put take pictures off my phone so I can show them. So, but we're grateful for that. What a blessing that is. And speaking of baptism, we are, that is available. If you'd like to be baptized, we're planning on doing that this summer. If some individuals would like to do that, you just need to talk to Paul or I about it. So, okay. Any other testimonies of praise or thanksgiving? Dennis? Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Well, you probably knew I was going to get up. Looking back to last year and looking forward to 2018, I thought, oh, it's going to be a routine year, but it wasn't so much. Matter of fact, back on December 29th, I had acute urinary retention, and they drained like five times the regular amount, you know, that you would have. I couldn't do anything. So then I was in the hospital, and I got a UTI, and then I got sepsis, which is very serious. It's a blood infection. So I was in the hospital for 2 days for that. And then in February, I had prostate surgery, and that was very helpful, and it turned out good, so I'm thankful for that. Didn't have to stay in the hospital for that one, at least. But then in May, I went to see my heart doctor and had my regular routine checkup, and he says, how are you doing? I said, oh, I'm doing fine. And Pam says, what about your shortness of breath? Oh, okay. So I said, yeah, I do have shortness of breath. If I go up a flight of stairs, I'm huffing and puffing. He says, that doesn't sound right. I thought I was just getting old. So he put me on a treadmill and went through the whole test, and he said, something doesn't look right here. So then he says, we're going to do an angiogram. So then they did the angiogram and found out 95% blockage in my main artery, the widowmaker going into the heart. So if I would have had a heart attack, it would have been fatal. So then we thought, okay, when I was going to do the angiogram, that's not so serious. I wasn't too nervous about that. I thought if it's a problem, they put some stents in and send me home. By that, they sent me by ambulance down to St. Luke's. Next day, surgery, three bypasses. But even then, I wasn't fearful. I just had confidence that the Lord is going to see me through this, and if he didn't allow me to get through it, I'd be safe with him. So then I was there for 6 days at St. Luke's, and they sent me home, but I was feeling really crummy over the next 3 days, and they found out I had fluid around my heart and fluid in my lungs, so back to St. Luke's, and that's when I hit a low spot. Then I was fearful because I didn't know if I was going to make it. But all the while, I knew you guys are praying, and hundreds of people praying that knew me. We went to a class reunion last night. People I didn't even know knew about it. They asked me how I was doing. So this went far and wide because of Facebook. I mean, everybody knows right away. But what a blessing to know that you guys are praying, and what a support group. Praise the Lord.
No more this year. You're done. Anything else? Bev? Hold it nice and close.
Thank you for praying for me, and I thank my daughter Kathy. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here because I had an obstructed bowel, and it was her intervention that I got the care I needed, and praise God, I just thank her and all my children, all you guys. Thank you.
Sitting long enough.
I came today and I'm like, oh, what do I have to be thankful for? I really don't have anything to say. But then, Clara, here we go. Y'all know Clara. She's a very special girl. Her life has not been easy on many different levels, physically, emotionally, the whole thing. God gave her to me for a reason. Well, doesn't God give us our children each for a reason? He knows exactly who they need as their parents. It's been a very long road. And if you guys would have known her 15 years ago, the hurdles she has had to overcome to be able to be healthy emotionally and physically and just go to school and then to graduate in the top percentage in her class and to get a huge scholarship and to know what she wants to do with her life and to want to live for Christ and have a heart for Christ. And a I can't even tell you what she was like when she was a little kid. We thought she was autistic. She was so mean that she was. She had no. Oh, I can't even. Don't even get. We'll talk at the picnic. But God has shaped her into the most amazing young lady that I am so proud of. And I was scared to death for many reasons to let her go on her own to college. But God has given me peace and given her peace. And I am so excited for what you have in the future because I know God's going to use you. And I know you want to be used by God. And that is such a blessing to me. And so I am so thankful for where God has taken Clara and how God has led me in raising her. And I'm so excited to see what God has for you in the future.
Amen. Well, for those that didn't come today, they missed out on a lot, didn't they? Good day. Anything else? Otherwise, we'll sing a song. Another one? Okay. It's okay.
I won't do this justice because I don't know all the details, but I know there was several women here that have really blessed Nikki this past year, and I know she would really like to thank God for those people. Ruth, obviously. Mary, you've been such a blessing to her. I actually look forward to when she comes home on Thursdays. I mean, she makes it sound like such a dysfunctional family you guys have on Thursday when you do worship practice. She grew up as an only child, so it really does bless her, that interaction, almost like brother and sister. Kathy. Did I press something?
I don't know.
Is that okay there? Kathy, I have no idea what you guys talk about or what goes on, but she is so blessed by you. And you too, blessing, the Mill Pond. But probably most of all this year, Diane, you have really, really blessed her. She doesn't share a lot, but she gets emotional. You challenge her, but just to be spending time with you, and she looks forward to it. She feels convicted if she, I haven't talked to Diane in so long, but so whatever relationship you have, I know she would want to thank God for it. So. Oh, and she's thankful for me, too.
On that note, why don't we sing a song? Psalm 115 says this. It says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your faithful love, because of your truth. So let's go ahead and sing Be Unto Your Name, and then we'll have a short time of sharing and prayer after that, and then we'll songs. I don't remember if it was in college I started singing that or what, but my favorite songs. We're trying something new, so if you would indulge me. I know it may be out of your comfort zone, but, you know, God always stretches us, doesn't he? We have a comfort zone, he picks us up and throws us outside of it, so... Who have you been sharing the gospel with? Who are some individuals that we as a church can pray for now that we can be remembering to pray for in the days and weeks to come just in regard to their salvation? Who can we be praying for? Greg has a mic. I have a mic. So
there's a lady at a local business in Plymouth that I've kind of befriended, and we don't really get a chance to talk much because she's working when I'm in there. But if you would just pray for Sharon, that I would have an opportunity to share the gospel with her.
Okay. Sometimes I like to get out and play golf, so I have an opportunity when I'm playing golf with a friend that I work with. His name is Marv, and when we go out, I get opportunity to share the gospel with him. And also for my brother Ron, he likes to do the same, and when I get out to play golf, I get opportunity to share the gospel with him. So, you know, get to kill two birds with one stone.
You should pass this right behind you.
My granddaughter's in the service. She's in the Navy, and she had a work program she was supposed to go to, something, digging holes, whatever. Anyhow, she didn't want to do it, but she could go to church instead. So she went to church. She said the first Sunday she didn't listen very much. The second Sunday, well, that wasn't so bad. And the third Sunday she started to listen. And evidently, God's caught her. Praise the Lord. I think she really knows now.
Okay. What's her name?
Angelia.
I'm not distracted up here. I got my tablet and I'm typing names down as I. That's why you see me working on it. So, anyone else? Dan.
If you could pray for my entire family, my siblings and their spouses and my parents. I don't know if, honestly, if any of them are truly saved. They're very resistant to talking about it whatsoever. They just look at me as the religious one, and when there's family gatherings, I'm the one who prayed because they know that that's important to me, but they don't really want to talk about it. My grandma is the one who had a big influence on me, but I don't see it in any of my other family members.
This past week, I actually had a chance to have a pretty good conversation with Dawson about Jesus. And I, you know, we didn't make any decisions, but I pray that that he would at some point, and that I would be able to help him along that path. And pray for me that I would have the right words and the right things to share that he would be able to understand.
Yeah, he talks about Jesus often. We talk about praying to Jesus when we have the bad dreams, right, buddy? Yeah. So.
I ask that you pray for my very close work friends, Dawn and Leah, okay, and my family as well.
If we could pray for my friend Russell. He's known him for 23, 24 years, and I always have the feeling that if he ever converted, he'd be, God could use him in so many ways.
Sure.
And he always comes up whenever I think about people who are unsaved that I think should be.
God says our children are like arrows. Excuse me. And I feel like Sarah is an arrow out in the world. And when she tells about her days at work and talks about some of her coworkers, I just feel strongly their need for God. And so a couple of them that you could pray for are Paige, Mona, and Jane.
You guys have probably all actually met Emma a few times. She's come to church every once in a while. But if you could continue to pray for her, I used to work with her at the co-op, and now she's off doing about 1,000 other things. You know, she's young at heart. She's grown up in a Catholic home, and so she knows right and wrong, and she feels that that's good enough. So if you can pray that the Lord will kind of continue to guide her, and that I will have the right words to stand up to her and be like, hey, yeah, you know, there's a little bit more to this than than what you have always known. So you can pray for Emma.
I share an office with a young man named Tony. He was brought up Christian, but hasn't been to church for a number of years. And over the course of the last few months that he's been working next to me, I've encouraged him to go to church or come with me. So hopefully someday he will come and see the light again.
I'm gonna stay here. So I work at the Pig in Plymouth, and whenever I'm like checking out or whatever, I'm a cashier, and I also work behind the desk. Well, I have my name tag, and it has my name on it, blessing. And a lot of times, customers will come up to me, and they'll be like, "Oh, well, I love your name," or like a lot of times, I'll also get the question, or people will say it's pretty or whatever. Or also, a lot of times, they'll say, "Are you religious?" Because and then they'll ask me that. So, I just hate talking in front of a microphone. Sorry. All right. So, a lot of times, I'll be able to. They'll ask me if I'm religious. I'll say, "You could say that, but I would say that I'm a Christian." And they'll be like, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And I'll be like, "Well, I believe in Jesus." And then I'll just share the gospel and the best I can to random people. And they remember me, and they'll come back, and they'll ask me more about it or whatever. So, every week I'll have repeat customers, so I can just always keep sharing a little bit more. And sure. I just hope that my name can continue to be a testimony to people. So.
They got to wait for you anyway while you're swiping stuff. So. Nate.
I, too, also have a friend that I'd like to see converted because he has such a core. He has a very large social network. He's a very unique individual, and I know the Lord could use him. Yeah. I'd love to see him saved. And then, as you grow as a Christian, one of the things I've learned, it's not up to me to choose who's being saved, but it's a selfish want that I'd like to see this man saved. And I've been praying for him for 15 years, and it started out. There's times that I can share with him and questions from aliens getting refueled on top of the pyramids to now we're getting into deeper discussions as we grow together as a friendship and we're talking about baptism and what it is to be saved. And now our questions are becoming, our conversations are better. But another thing that I've noticed is I have a problem with drinking. And drinking happens a lot in our environment. Another time I was with an individual at a Brewer game, and God opened a door for me to share the gospel. And unfortunately, when I tried to access it, it's as if there was a black curtain. So I also need prayer that I would be clear, because you never know when God will open that door, and I need to be ready. So, thank you.
What's your, can I ask your friend's name? Kivi. Okay. Okay.
Well, I guess I said part two before, so here comes part two. I told you about the rope and the little red dot on it, tip on it, and that kind of was overheard one day by a guy who's a coworker of mine. He's on staff where I'm at, and he came up to me and he says, I knew God once, and then I kind of lost my faith after Sandy Hook. And I at that point, God said, just ask questions. And I asked questions. I asked a number of questions to him, you know, why he felt, you know, there was no God after Sandy Hook, or why this or that. And it's like God was telling me, there's no winning here. You don't have to win. I'll take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. Just follow my lead. And he said, in the back of my mind, just say what you know from Scripture. I heard it from Charles Stanley one time that the best path that Scripture can take in counsel is a straight line. It goes right to the heart of the matter. The counsel of man zigs from side to side, hoping to hit its mark, but with God's, it does. And so I told him, I said, because he had received a lot of bad counsel, trying to take all the attention off of man and maybe putting it on a God who was negligent. And I said, God isn't negligent here. Sandy Hook didn't take him by surprise. And the sinfulness of man is what caused this, not God. And it was something that I was able to tell him in love. And I told him, you know, Christ came and took care of the problem once for all. So if you can pray for Ken, he kind of walked away from me, but, you know, we still talk, and it's a very, very good relationship. And he asked me what I was going to do this weekend, and I said, well, we've got a birthday party we're going to go to and a church picnic that we're going to go to. And he said, oh, what church do you go to? And I told him, I said, I go to a small Bible church in Adel. And he kind of looked at me like, oh, you're one of them. Well, you could pray for Ken. Ken got a dose of the truth. And I'm hoping that I was used properly by God to say the right words. But I took heart in the fact that when his word goes out, it never goes back void. So, pray for Ken.
All right. Why don't we take a few moments now, just a couple of us could pray. And I might actually just email this list out to us, that way we know we're going to be praying for some of these individuals, okay? So if a couple of you would pray, I'll close, and then we'll do the offertory and a closing song, all right?
Thank you.
fathers, we've had this time. Quite honestly, it gives me some mixed emotions. In one sense, we're reminded of the reality of how many people are still without you. We haven't made that decision of faith, and in some, it's taken time, taken years, and still no response. And so we're reminded even more of our responsibility and of our calling by you to be faithful in sharing the hope that we ourselves have come to know and to experience. And we're grateful, but we pray that we would not allow fear, allow environment itself, whatever it is, to silence our voice, to silence that message, that we would be faithful ambassadors of you, and in sharing the most precious gift of all, the fact that Christ came, that he died, and that salvation is free through him. I know at the same time it also encourages my heart as a pastor to see, to hear of people, to see people doing what we're called to do, sharing this hope in Christ, and what a joy that is to my heart. Father, grant us the words, grant us boldness as we have opportunity to share. Grant us boldness to make the opportunities as well. To use every advantage, every moment, just to speak of you. And may that be as natural to us as breathing and sharing the gospel and singing your praises, sharing about what you've done with those around us. Thank you for our time this morning, the time we've had to share and to speak of your praises, to speak of what you have been doing. What an encouragement that is to our hearts. And you know, as we go through trials and things in our lives, we remember those stories of your faithfulness. Remember how you acted in each other's, in those around us, in their lives. And that's the stamina to keep us going. That's the helps us to continue to endure, an encouragement, reminders of the joy and reminders of what you've done. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for your goodness to us. May this day not be the only day in which we take time to share what you have done with those around us. May you always find us doing that. We pray this all in your name. Amen. We're going to take do the offering during the last song, if that's all right.